Married at First Sight. Chapter 4404. His company and the Du Group had recently established a partnership, and he was the person in charge of managing the collaboration. As a result, Spencer frequently visited the Du Group to discuss project matters. Evan York had to admit he was indeed a bit envious of Spencer's ability to come and go freely at the Du Group. He still needed permission to enter. Other visitors at least made it to the front desk before being stopped. He was halted right at the entrance. Still, today, Spencer's words didn't trigger any jealousy in Evan York. He politely declined the offer and said, "Mr. Xiang, please go ahead. I'll wait here for Abby. She just went to get her car. We'll be heading to the Hyribity Hotel for dinner shortly." "Oh." Spencer raised an eyebrow. "Abby's free to have dinner with you now? Isn't it still work hours? I actually came to see her about something urgent. I'm afraid she may not be able to leave just yet." Evan York instantly regretted blurting that out. "Why did I say anything so soon?" He replied quickly, "You can speak to someone else. Sister Du should be able to help." The eldest Du daughter was Abby's cousin, and Evan York respectfully called her Sister Du. Spencer said, "But Abby has always been my contact. President Du isn't too familiar with the project details. I'll find Abby first. Once we wrap up our business talk, the three of us can head to dinner. My treat." He said it on purpose. Although he was there for work, it wasn't essential to meet with Abby Du. He simply didn't like how quickly Evan York was earning her forgiveness and making progress in pursuing her. His own love life had been far from smooth, and seeing Evan York succeed so easily irritated him. Yes, he was a little jealous of Evan York. Evan York came from such a good family, it was enough to make anyone envious. Evan York's family background was so strong that even Spencer couldn't help feeling envious and jealous. The York family had numerous in-laws, all connected to influential and affluent families. If the York family ever faced difficulties, any one of those relatives could step in to help. It was nothing like the situation he and Victoria were in. "Good things take time," he reminded himself with a sigh. After realizing his feelings for Victoria, Spencer confessed to her via WhatsApp and phone, making it clear that he saw her as a potential partner, not a sister. But Victoria replied that they were no longer a suitable match. Although her family's troubles had eased somewhat, they were far from fully resolved. That relief had only come thanks to assistance from the Du Group's overseas branches. Victoria was deeply grateful to her godmother, Mrs. Du, and her godsister, Abby Du. Mrs. Chouinard, also her godmother, had distanced herself from Victoria's family when they hit financial trouble. She offered no support, and Spencer's efforts to help privately had earned him scoldings from his parents. Mrs. Chouinard even reached out to Victoria directly, warning her that she was no longer worthy of Spencer and should stay away. Rumors spread that Spencer had returned to China to build his career, and that his future wife would come from one of Hyribity's elite families. The only thing left unsaid was that he would marry Abby Du. But Abby Du didn't love Spencer, she only saw him as an older brother. While the Du family never voiced their opinion openly, it was obvious they favored Evan York. Compared to the Chouinard family, the York family was a better match for Abby Du in every way. Their values and reputation far surpassed those of the Chouinard family. Even a fool would choose the York family. Besides, Abby Du genuinely loved Evan York. Spencer still saw her as a sister, but when he watched Evan York enjoying the happiness he longed for, he couldn't help feeling jealous. And he wasn't the only one, there were surely many others envious of Evan York too. Married at First Sight. Chapter 4405. Spencer was about to drive into the Du Group when he saw Abby Du's car pulling out. Recognizing his car, Abby Du also stopped. She honked, signaling to ask whether she or Spencer should give way. Spencer yielded. He pulled his car to the side, allowing Abby Du to drive out. Then he got out and walked toward her vehicle. "Abby, Where are you heading? Haven't you finished work yet? Spencer asked knowingly, pretending he had just arrived. Abby Du got out of her car as well. She replied, Brother Spencer, I'm leaving early today. I've handed over my tasks to others, so you'll need to find someone else to assist you. Evan just arrived. I'm going to have dinner with him. Spencer said, Can't we wait until after work to eat together? I'll treat you. Where did fourth young Master York go? Did he just arrive? I thought he'd been waiting here for a while, and I was going to take him inside to find you. Abby Du smiled and said, Serenity gave birth. Evan went back to visit it's his first nephew, and he really cherishes him. Now that Serenity has been discharged and is recuperating at home, Evan York has come over. The York Group plans to invest in Hyribity, and he's leading the project. Spencer already knew this. He also knew that Abby Du's heart was completely with Evan York. Although the Du family had been upset after Evan York previously rejected Abby, they didn't seem to hold it against him after he ended up in the hospital coughing from eating chili peppers during a live broadcast. Clearly, the Du family favored Evan York. The York family's power was immense, and Evan York himself was exceptional. Spencer couldn't help but feel even more envious and resentful. Brother Spencer, you can just look for Vice President Lin. He and I are both handling the cooperation with your company. Since I'm not around, you can work with him. She was clearly hinting. Is that so? All right, then. Would you mind if I joined you two for dinner? My work isn't that urgent. Is that so? All right, then. Do you mind if I join you for dinner? Work isn't urgent. Spencer intentionally wanted to be a glaring third wheel. Abby Du hesitated briefly but declined his request. She said, Brother Spencer, Evan York just arrived, and I have a lot to discuss with him. It's fine if you come along, but you mustn't interrupt us while we're talking. To avoid making things awkward for you, it's probably better if you don't come with us. Maybe another time. She smiled and added, I'll treat you to a meal another day. Or you could come to my house for dinner this weekend. My mom often asks about you. Since our companies are working together, she keeps saying that next time she sees you, she wants to invite you over for a meal. She even said that if you're coming, to let her know in advance she'll personally cook all your favorite dishes. Spencer smiled. Godmother is so thoughtful. I'll turn down all my appointments this weekend and spend the day at your place. Great, I'll let my mom know. Spencer nodded. Although her godmother clearly favored Evan York, she was still kind and warm toward her godson. He had been busy with work lately and hadn't visited the Du family in a while. His own mother often reminded him to drop by the Du family's house whenever he had the chance to chat with his godmother, talk about family matters, and maintain his presence in front of her and the rest of the family. Spencer nodded again. Then I won't keep you. Go enjoy your dinner. Abby Du smiled once more and waved at Evan York. While she had been talking with Spencer, Evan York was tactful enough not to approach. He gave her space and didn't eavesdrop on their conversation. He could tell that Abby had no romantic feelings for Spencer. No matter how Spencer tried to act, Evan York simply saw it as putting on a performance. Married at First Sight Chapter 4406. Of course, he couldn't take things lightly after all, the Chouinard family wanted Spencer to marry Abby Du. Until Spencer got married, Evan York would still see him as a romantic rival and remain wary. Evan, let's go eat. Abby Du led Evan York to the car, then rolled down the window and waved at Spencer. Evan York also lowered his window. He looked at Spencer and smiled a bright, cheerful smile that, in Spencer's eyes, felt like a slap in the face. Did he really think that just by showing up, Abby would change her mind? Evan York said silently to himself, Goodbye, love rival. It wasn't until Abidu's car disappeared from view that Spencer got back into his own car and drove into the Du Group compound. He couldn't really abandon his work. He was just an employee, unlike Abidu, who was the second daughter of the Du family. She worked at her family's company and could leave early whenever she pleased. He had returned to China to build his career. Thanks to his close relationship with the Du family and successful cooperation with the Du Group, he had achieved some success, proving to others that he was capable, but he still had to work hard and continue performing. The pressure was intense. Thinking about it, he couldn't help but envy Evan York. As far as he knew, the York family had reassigned Evan York's original responsibilities to his cousins and professional managers, just to give him time to pursue the woman he loved. With his entire family supporting him, Evan York didn't have to worry about work and could focus solely on winning over Abidu. With that kind of backing, how could Evan York possibly fail? Sigh. Same people, different fates. The York Group's investment in Hyribidi and Evan York's leadership of the project were strategic, meant to make him worthy of Abidu and to prove his value to the Du family. It also ensured that Evan York could remain in Hyribidi for the long term. It also allowed Evan York to remain in Hyribidi for an extended period. Within the York family, only Zachary hadn't been reassigned. As the head of the family, he needed to stay at the York Group. He used to travel frequently for business, but after getting married, he reduced his trips significantly. The reason was to spend more time with his wife. The other young masters were often relocated, going wherever the family needed them. Ring, ring, ring. Spencer's phone rang. He pulled over before answering the call. It was a long-distance call from his mother. Mom. Are you busy? Is it convenient for you to talk? I just arrived at the Du Group. I haven't gotten out of the car yet. What's wrong? Spencer asked gently. You went to the Du Group. Were you looking for Abby? Can I video chat with her? I miss her a lot. Spencer replied, Abby already left. Evan York came over, and the two of them went out to eat together. She's clearly very fond of him. Mrs. Choinard was silent for a moment on the other end before she finally spoke again. The joy in her voice had faded. She asked softly, is there really no chance between you and Abby? Your godmother and I have been close friends for decades. She watched you grow up, and I watched Abby grow up. Our two families know each other so well. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4407. If you marry Abby, everyone would be happy, and it would also benefit your career. Mrs. Choinard knew her son had been able to work with the Du Group after returning to China largely because of his connection to the Du family. The Du Group was one of the largest conglomerates in Hyribidi. Her son's accomplishments were tied to his partnership with them. It was far more promising than collaborating with smaller companies. Spencer responded helplessly, Mom, I can't just marry her because I want to. Abby doesn't love me, she only sees me as an older brother. Forget Abby, even my godmother isn't pushing for me to marry her. Evan York is excellent, and he's a better match for Abby. The York family is known for its strong values, and the Du family isn't foolish. You think about what's best for me, and I appreciate it, but don't you think my godmother is doing the same for Abby? I'm just her godson. Abby is her biological daughter. Between a godson and a daughter, anyone would choose their own child. Abby likes Evan York. Mom, please stop bringing this up. It's not going to happen. If you keep pressing the issue, it'll only make things awkward between me and my godmother. It could also affect your relationship with her. You already lost touch with my other godmother. Do you really want that to happen again? Mrs. Choinard was left speechless by her son's rebuttal. Eventually, she sighed and said, since you don't have a chance, then there's nothing more I can say. I'm not in the country, and I can't help you. Even if you came back, it wouldn't change anything. I'm afraid you'd end up talking about this repeatedly in front of my godmother, and it would upset both her and the Du family. My godmother doesn't control the Du family. The real head of the family was the Du family's eldest wife. The Du family was very united, and there was no way his godmother would risk conflict with the other branches just for them. Mom, if we can help Victoria's family, we should. Putting aside my feelings for her, you and her mother have been best friends for decades. Isn't there any friendship left at all? Mom, if we can help Victoria's family, we should. Putting aside the fact that I love her, you and her mother have been best friends for decades. Doesn't that friendship mean anything? Her family isn't beyond saving. If we help them through this crisis, they'll recover. When the time comes, Victoria will take over the company. I truly believe she has what it takes to lead them back to their former glory. Mom, I love Victoria. I've confessed my feelings to her. During this time apart, I've had time to think clearly. I really do love her. Everything I did for her before was because of that love. I don't see her as just a friend or confidant. I genuinely love her. Because of that, I've treated her well, accepted all her flaws, and done my best to support her family through their difficulties. The Du Group's overseas branches have already extended support. So why can't we help her family, too? Mom, whether you approve or not, I will only love Victoria in this life and I'll only marry her. If you and Dad strongly object, then I won't get married at all. Victoria hadn't entered a new relationship, and her feelings for him were just as deep. Both of them had already prepared themselves. If they couldn't gain their elders' approval, they'd stay together without getting married and simply live their lives that way. Mrs. Choinard was silent on the other end of the call for a while. She finally sighed and said, "Compared to Abby, I actually know Yan better. Our families, well, it's your decision. It's your marriage, and you're the one who will live with her in the future. Since you've made up your mind, I won't interfere. Helping her family isn't something I can decide. I'm just a housewife. I don't deal with business matters. It's up to your father. I'll talk to Dad." Spencer was overjoyed his mother had relented. Now, he just needed to convince his father. That old fox had probably already realized the Du Group was backing Victoria's family. With their support, her family wouldn't go bankrupt or end up drowning in debt. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4408. Spencer's father, a man skilled at adapting to circumstances, would surely lend a helping hand at this point. Otherwise, he might not even get a chance to speak later. If the Choinard family failed to act now, they would face lasting criticism. Even if Spencer and Victoria had already crossed that emotional line, a thorn of resentment would remain in Victoria's heart. But Spencer no longer cared about that. He had told Victoria that once her family overcame the crisis, he would bring her back to China to build their lives together, away from her parents and family. Just the two of them happy and free. "All right, go handle it yourself. Get back to work. Mom won't bother you anymore." She had only called to check on the status of his relationship with Abby Du. To her surprise, her son still hadn't let go of Victoria and had even confessed his love again. Forget it, he was already in his early 30s. He knew what he wanted. A grown son couldn't be controlled by his mother forever. It was better to let him make his own decisions. On the other side, Abby Du suddenly sneezed. Evan York, sitting in the passenger seat, looked at her with concern and asked, "Did you catch a cold?" "No, it was just a sneeze." "Don't overreact. Haven't you ever sneezed before?" A single sneeze wasn't anything serious. If she kept sneezing, then it might be a cold. She was in great health and rarely caught colds throughout the year. "Abby, just now, I was worried you'd turn back to handle work with Mr. Xiang," Evan York said honestly. "He may be your brother, but to me, he's still a romantic rival. He may be your brother, but to me, he's always been a rival in love. After all, Spencer was only Abidu's godbrother. There was no blood relation between them. Abidu replied, I've already handed the work matters over to Vice President Lin. It's the same if brother Spencer goes to him instead. Why didn't you tell me you were going home? If you had, I could have taken a few days off and gone with you. I really want to see Serenity's baby. Isn't he adorable? Serenity had announced on her WhatsApp moments that she had given birth and that both she and the baby were doing well. However, she didn't post a frontal photo of the baby. The York family is very protective of their children before they reach adulthood. Media outlets are not allowed to take clear frontal shots, and even family members avoid posting such photos unless they're limited to private circles. Since Serenity's son was only a few days old, she wasn't ready for anyone to see the baby's full face. You two, why didn't you take a couple of photos and send them to me privately? I don't even know what the baby looks like. Evan York responded, sorry, I didn't think of that. I completely forgot to take pictures. Everyone was so eager to hold the baby. When it was finally my turn, I barely had time to get a good look before one of my brothers took him away again. I was too busy fighting for a chance to hold my nephew, I didn't even take a photo. It's fine. When the baby turns 1 month old, I'll take you back for the full moon banquet. You'll get to see him then. By then, he'll be even cuter. Married at First Sight Chapter 4409. Abidu said, you've been back for days and still haven't taken a single photo. Evan York replied sheepishly, I honestly didn't even think of taking pictures. I spent all my time fighting with my brothers over who got to hold my nephew. It's all my eldest brother and sister-in-law's fault. Abidu asked, how is that their fault? Well, if they'd had three or four babies at once, I'd have had a better chance of holding one and maybe then I would have remembered to take pictures. His words made Abidu laugh so hard that she nearly rear-ended the car in front of her. She had to slam on the brakes to avoid an accident. Once she calmed down, she resumed driving, this time much more carefully. But she kept chatting, saying, do you think having multiple babies is easy? It would have been so hard on Serenity to carry that many. Twins are common, but triplets or more. That's rare, quadruplets are even more unlikely. If you didn't take pictures, then so be it. When the baby's 1 month celebration comes around, I'll go, have a drink, hold the baby, and see for myself. Does the baby look more like Serenity or Brother York? Evan York answered, at first, he looked just like my brother. But after a few days, he started to resemble my sister-in-law. They say babies change every day, it's hard to tell just yet. When he grows a bit more, we'll see who he really takes after. Either way, he looks like both of them, and they're both good-looking, so I'm sure he'll turn out to be a handsome, adorable kid. It's just a shame it wasn't a girl. Abby, let me tell you, my brothers and I secretly bought a bunch of princess dresses, just in case. We thought if it was a girl, we'd be ready with those cute outfits. I really think little girls' dresses are adorable. Even my eldest brother bought some girls' clothes. This, despite them all knowing that the chance of his sister-in-law having a daughter as her first child was slim. Still, a fortune teller whom they had never met but whose words deeply influenced their grandmother told her that the York family's generations-long streak of not having daughters would finally end with the eldest brother and his wife. However, the master whom none of them had ever met but whose words greatly influenced their grandmother had predicted that the York family's long-standing streak of having no daughters would end with the eldest brother and his wife. He said they were destined to have both a son and a daughter. Originally, everyone knew their family was tied to a Buddhist temple, and that women who married into it always gave birth to sons. Over time, they had given up hope of ever welcoming a daughter. But the master's words rekindled a spark of hope. What if, by some miracle, their sister-in-law gave birth to a girl? Even a 1% chance was still a chance, however slim. Sure enough, when the baby arrived, it was a boy. If this child wasn't exceptional among his cousins, why would the entire family treasure him so much? After all, who could blame the York family for having everything except daughters? Just wait. Once the second and third sisters-in-law give birth to sons, those nephews won't shine as brightly as the eldest one. Things are precious because they're rare. It's the same with children. If there are many sons, they lose their novelty and daughters become prized. But if daughters are common, sons suddenly become more valued. In short, it's always the rare ones who are cherished. Take the case of Tatum's fiancé. Her family has many daughters, so sons are considered especially valuable. Abidu smiled and said, "Your York family is tied to a famous Buddhist temple. How could Serenity possibly give birth to a girl? If she manages to have daughters in her second or third pregnancy, it'll be because your ancestors worked extra hard in the underworld." Evan York laughed and replied, "I still want to hold on to my sweet dream." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4410. By the way, I also saw Tatum's fiancé when I was back this time. She returned to Wildspoon with him and met his parents for the first time. That Miss Elora is comparable to my third sister-in-law. Abidu turned to glance at him, then quickly refocused on the road ahead. What? Is sixth young master's fiancé also a woman disguised as a man? She was well aware of third young Madam Hayden Queen's situation. After hearing what Evan York said, she assumed that the future sixth young madam might also be a woman in disguise. Deep down, she couldn't help but wonder why did Grandma May always seem to favor granddaughters-in-law who dressed as men? No, I meant that Miss Elora's personality is similar to my third sister-in-law's. They're both very serious people. Maybe it's because they carry the weight of their family businesses. The difference, though, was that Hayden Queen chose that path for herself. She liked the business world and had enjoyed dressing as a boy since childhood. Although she and her brother were siblings, many people mistook them for brothers. In Jensburg, people still call her Miss Queen. She never corrects them. Everyone has called her Young Master Queen for 20 or 30 years. She's simply used to it. If Hayden Queen hadn't fallen in love with Kevin York and gotten married, it would have felt like she had fully become a man. But now that she's married and has the warmth of love, she's begun to show a touch of femininity. Still, in Evan York's view, his third sister-in-law's slight femininity couldn't hold a candle to the charm of his beloved Abby. To him, Abby's cuteness was unmatched. Girls can take over the family business too. There's no need to dress like men to prove it. His third sister-in-law probably chose to dress as a man simply for convenience. That was her personal choice, and as her brother-in-law, he had no right to interfere. Abidu replied flatly, "Plenty of people are serious by nature." Abidu said, "There are plenty of people who are just as serious." "She may seem serious," she added, "but she might be as gentle as water when she's with the sixth young master." Evan York replied, "Maybe she shows some gentleness at times, but most of the time, it's our Tatum who puts up with her. He really spoils her. She's extremely picky about food. Ever since she came back, Tatum has been cooking for her every single day. I heard that if the food isn't to her taste, she'd rather go hungry than settle. Lots of people are picky, but very few are as particular as she is. Fortunately, our sixth brother has loved cooking since he was a kid. He's been at it for over 20 years and could be considered a top-notch chef. Only his cooking can satisfy her. Otherwise, they'd probably be skipping meals all the time. Eloria's picky eating habits sometimes led her to go hungry when she couldn't find food to her liking. Before Tatum York passed away, she already had stomach problems and often suffered from stomach aches. After Tatum York's death, with Tatum taking care of her meals and adjusting her diet and with medication, her stomach issues improved significantly. She rarely gets stomach aches anymore. When it comes to the stomach, nourishment is key. Still, even with a fiancé who's skilled at cooking and making soups, Elora continues to suffer from stomach pain. In a way, It's like a slap in the face to Tatum York's legacy. Abidou paused, then said, Miss Elora may have developed her picky habits from always having the best growing up. Although Abidou also came from a privileged background, she was taken in as an apprentice by her master at a young age. Mastering a craft under strict training wasn't easy, and her meals couldn't compare to those of her sisters who lived comfortably at home. Abidou isn't picky about food and is very self-sufficient. She's the most grounded among her siblings. Even her sisters aren't fussy eaters, thanks to the disciplined upbringing they received from their elders. As children, all their meals were prepared according to a nutritionist's plan. Regardless of how the food tasted, if it was on the table, they were expected to eat it. Married at First Sight Chapter 4411. Adults prioritize balanced nutrition and are not allowed to be picky eaters. That eating habit has continued into adulthood, making it hard for them to be as particular as Miss Elora. The fiancé grandma chose for the sixth young master must have been selected with great care. Since your sixth young master can handle Miss Elora, that's why your grandma chose her. If he didn't have that ability, then no matter how much grandma may admired Miss Elora, she wouldn't have considered her, especially not just to please Prime Minister Sunday. I think Grandma May is very self-aware and understands her grandchildren well. She knows exactly what kind of girl suits each of you. Take your eldest brother, for example, he's cold and indifferent toward women. But Grandma May still pushed him to marry your eldest sister-in-law. She was leveraging his strong sense of duty, knowing that once they were married, he would treat her as his wife. Your eldest brother believes that marriage makes them a couple, so he must fulfill his role as a husband. He'll pay more attention to your eldest sister-in-law over time, and through daily life and deeper understanding, feelings will naturally grow between them. The men of the York family are known for their loyalty and strong sense of responsibility. Zachary married Serenity in a flash marriage to repay his grandmother's kindness. He claimed he wanted to observe whether Serenity was worthy of his lifelong devotion. But in truth, the deep-rooted sense of responsibility within him made him naturally embrace and protect Serenity. That same responsibility slowly turned into love. Look at your third brother and his wife. Your third sister-in-law is quiet, while your third brother is lively and talkative. When they're together, they balance each other and never feel bored. Your second brother and his wife also matched well. When they first got together, your second sister-in-law was blind. But your second brother has a kind and gentle temperament. He didn't mind her condition and was able to accept everything about her. Your grandma is truly an exceptional woman. She loves her grandchildren deeply and always acts in their best interest. Grandma May invested a great deal of time and effort into finding the most suitable partners for her grandsons. Abidou dared to say that Grandma May had likely been planning these matches in secret for years. It wasn't something that began just recently. Why did she only start arranging matches for the other grandsons after young Master Jean got married? Most likely because they were still too young and not yet mature enough. Young men can come across as impulsive and unreliable, lacking the stability needed to take on family responsibilities. If they'd been encouraged to pursue marriage too early, their chances of success would have been slim, and they could have easily hurt the hearts of innocent girls due to their immaturity. Now that the seventh and eighth grandsons are around 23 or 24, the old lady isn't in any rush to pair them off. She said they shouldn't begin romantic relationships until they're at least 26 or 27. It's even possible she'll delay it another couple of years, until they're 28 or 29, before giving them permission to pursue marriage. After all, Grandma May already has several granddaughters-in-law, and her enthusiasm for matchmaking has waned. Having just become a great grandmother, she's ready to take a well-earned break. Evan York smiled and said, I know how much Grandma loves us. When we were young, our grandparents raised us. Grandma always said that after she retired, she'd have a group of grandchildren to care for her and keep her company in retirement. When our parents were younger, they were busy with work and left us in the care of our grandparents. It was our grandparents who brought us up and taught us so much. Both Grandpa and Grandma were highly accomplished individuals who passed down their experience and wisdom to the younger generation, little by little. Though the brothers may compare themselves with one another, when compared to outsiders, they are all exceptional true elites. That's thanks to the excellent upbringing they received from their grandparents. My grandfather was also a wonderful man. It's just a pity he didn't live long enough to see us get married and have children. If he had seen my eldest brother become a father, he would have been overjoyed. Grandpa loved my eldest brother the most. He was the first grandson, and that held a special significance. Married at First Sight. Chapter 4412. Abby Du didn't know how to respond. She had never met the late grandfather of the York family. He had passed away from illness when Zachary was in his 20s. It had been 6 or 7 years since then. As long as you're doing well and remain filial to your grandma, your grandfather in heaven will be very pleased, she said gently. Evan York was silent for a moment, then replied, "Of course. We'll be fine, and we'll always be filial to grandma." All the brothers shared a deep bond with their grandmother. In contrast, their feelings toward their parents were somewhat more distant. When they arrived at Hyribity Hotel, Abby Du parked the car. Evan York got out with her and asked, "Abby, don't you want to carry the bouquet I gave you? We're going in to eat. There's no need to carry a bouquet, it gets in the way. Next time, don't buy such a big one. It's hard to hold." Evan York smiled and said, "A big bouquet looks better. All right, I'll get a smaller one next time." As long as she was willing to accept his flowers, whether big or small, he was happy to give them as long as she liked them. He tentatively reached out to hold Abby Du's hand, but she pulled away the moment their hands touched. Evan York felt a slight pang of disappointment, but he understood. Although she had warmed up to him a little after his return to Wildspoon, that didn't mean she had accepted him. She was mostly curious about her sister-in-law's situation. That was all right. The road ahead was long, and he had a lifetime to make her fall in love with him again. Evan York followed Abby Du into the hotel, acting as though nothing had happened. Hyribity Hotel was owned by the Du Group. Abby Du often dined there and was very familiar with the place. She led Evan York into a private room she frequently used and asked him what he wanted to eat. Evan York replied that she could order anything, he wasn't picky. Without bothering with formalities, Abby Du ordered several of the hotel's signature dishes. Once the order was placed, she asked, "How's your family's investment going here?" "It's going pretty smoothly," Evan York replied. "Once our branch is up and running, do you think there's a chance we could work with your company?" Abby Du smiled. "I don't think there's a chance right now. Who knows if your branch will even succeed?" "Abby, are you doubting my ability?" "I do have my doubts. Your business in Wildspoon has benefited a lot from the York family's foundation. Besides, the York family has close ties with the Liu, Shang, and Su families. You powerful families are all major players in Wildspoon's business world. But in Hyribity, your influence doesn't reach as far. Even if you manage to get a few deals here, it won't be much. Opening a branch here means starting from scratch. If you can get it on track within 2 or 3 years, then I'll admit you've got real ability." Evan York said confidently, "I'll have it up and running within 2 years." He had initially planned to give himself just 1 year, but knowing he also needed time to pursue the woman he loved, he gave himself a little extra. He couldn't allow the woman he cared about to look down on him. Getting the Hyribity branch on track as soon as possible was the first step to proving himself.